First thing we're going to do is read the Bible. That seems to get me out of trouble. Don't tell so many jokes. Read the Bible. Yes, Pastor Ross, I will. I know him. That's why I love him. Verse 38, chapter 5. There's too much here for me to spend all night on, so we'll just look at four verses. I'll preach a while. I'll talk a while. And when we're done, we're done. That doesn't mean just because we're driving tonight that I'm in a hurry. It doesn't mean a thing. We'll be out of here just as soon as I'm done. Let's look at verse 38. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38. First word is ye. If you got a Bible that says you, that might be a nice book, but the truth of the matter is the Bible says ye. And the difference is you is singular and ye is plural. And it means a whole lot different. When it says ye must be born again, who do I ask? Turn me up a little bit. Is he in there? Who is it in there? That's up close and personal. That's what that is. Anything else you want me to do? All right. Thank you. Thank you, brother. I appreciate a man that's in charge. It says, ye have heard that it's been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It's still funny, isn't it? It's okay. It's all right to laugh. It's okay. But get over it. It says, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man shall sue thee at the law, now do I have an echo? Am I too loud now? You okay? Echo, echo? Who says echo? No echo? Okay, you'd be going against your pastor. That's all right. He interrupted me. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. That'd be a good place to stop right there. Let's make a prayer. Now, Father, I like to laugh, and I know you allow that. And laughter's good, and laughter's real. And Lord, I pray right now that you can straighten out all the humor and everything to where we can just draw ourselves close to you and I can preach with some unction. I need that fluidity of heart and mind and soul that I could preach the way I should help somebody tonight. Holy Spirit of God, I pray I do not grieve you in any way or quench you. I ask that you empower me. In Christ's name, amen. Y'all got your cell phones turned off now? Mine's on vibrate, so if I start to go like that, you know that it's just vibrate. They sell a little block that you can hook on outside of your building that kills all cell phones. Yeah, it'll happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll do it. I recommend you put it on your daughter's bedroom if she's in high school. I want to draw your attention to verse 41. It says, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Now you're right there in Matthew. Turn over to Matthew 27. We're going back to Matthew 5. We'll be back here in a minute. But in Matthew 27, in verse 32, Matthew 27, verse 32 says, as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. Now go back to Matthew chapter 5. It says in verse 41, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. There's way too much in these four verses for me to preach the whole thing, so I'm going to preach one verse. Verse 41. In Persian days, the Persian king made a decree. And the decree was that if a soldier, a messenger, a man who was on a royal mission from this Persian king, if he was going across the countryside and he had need of help, if he had need of a servant, he had the ability to commandeer anyone. He would say, you come with me. And by law, he had to come with him 1 mile. Brother Jack, could you come here just a minute? In fact, send that young man next to you. Just send him. This is work. And I know you've been with your mom all day, so you just sit back down. I'm helping him. And I appreciate that, brother. This here fella, this Persian law was passed on the Romans and the Greeks used it and all that. Now you got this. What's going on here is I'll be the Roman, okay? You be the Jew. And here's what happens. Jesus says that if you've been, what does it say? Let's read it again. That's the thing with the New Message. You got to look at it. It says, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. So I got this weapon here, I got this luggage, I got this equipment, I got way too much for me to carry, and here's this Jew man. I said, hey, come here. Now this is the law. He didn't have a choice. By law, he has to help me. He has to help me for 5,280 feet, 1 mile. He is compelled to come with me and help me for a mile. He didn't have a choice. That's where we read over Matthew 27. They picked that guy out of the crowd. He didn't fuss or agree. It was the law. He had to help. So I commandeer this fella. Now let's just say that the end of the 1 mile is that step right there. Now you can imagine the foreign domination here. You know, I'm a Roman. He's not. He's carrying my stuff. And everybody's watching. The neighbors. He's had to stop his business because I can grab anybody I want. He might be the president of the Chamber of Commerce, but he's carrying my stuff. He's compelled to go with me. You wouldn't come here. You'd stay right there. That's where he'd put her down, right there. That's what would happen. He'd sign off right there. Thank you. I get it. He would only carry that as far as the law tells him to carry it. He's compelled to go a mile. Jesus says, and listen, now this means something to you. Jesus says, and who shall compel thee to go a mile? Go with him twain. Go with him 2 miles. So here you got this fella who's been commandeered. That's where the police get the right to do that. They grab a car and chase some wild man. Your car. Well, here they made that man carry it for 1 mile. But Jesus said to him, carry it two. Carry it two. This was a strange saying. For them to want to carry it too wasn't normal. They were obligated to carry for 1 mile, but I would assure you that they marked off that distance, and when it came to that mile, they put her down. But by grace, you can go the extra mile. You ever heard that? What we need in Jasonville is a 2-mile church. We need a 2-mile church. We need a 2-mile church. We need to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to grow in grace. We need to reach out with love. And we need to do more than what's expected. Be a 2-mile church. You do know this is a 1-mile world, don't you? Minimum standards. Don't even show up on time. Don't give them 8 hours. Just get by with what you can. You do know we live in a 1-mile world. But if we're going to have a 2-mile church, we've got to have some 2-mile Christians. These Roman laws, they had the ability to compel somebody. I'm asking you to consider to be in a 2-mile Christian. Too much of this one mile thought has leaked into the church. For example, we got a building going on out here. What a miracle. Going to take a bunch of 2-mile Christians to get her done. Ain't going to be just a work day. It's going to be every day. The 2-mile Christian is going to be there. He might even bring his donuts and his coffee. But the 2-mile Christian will be there. The 2-mile Christian is going to make a difference. He's going to be that mad Christian I talked about. That 2-mile Christian. What we need is a 2-mile church made up of 2-mile Christians. Up in there in verse 38, where it says, if ye have heard that it's been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I always thought that was some kind of revenge thing, you know. A life for a life, an eye for an eye. Always, it's the way it was on the movies, you know. I mean, that's the way I always seen it, you know. But the fact is, over there in Genesis 4 and somewhere in that area, 23 maybe, there was a fellow who was insulting the king, and the king had him killed, dead. And I guess that's how you die, is be killed. I don't know. But anyway, he had him dead. So, but see, that was no justice. So this is justice, an eye for an eye. Some kind of justice is why this was put in there. We need a 2-mile church. In order to do that, we cannot operate in the flesh. We need a 2-mile church. Here in this next verse it says, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, then turn to him the other also. I remember that joke about that great big guy who got saved. And that little teeny fella come up to him and said, I heard you got saved. I heard you Christian. Yep. He says, that mean if I slap you on one side of the head, you'll turn your cheek? He said, yep. But he said, the Lord's left me no further instructions after that. In verse 41, it says, and whosoever compel thee to go with a mile, go with him twain. Folks, when Jesus said this, I'm sure these people, they would have hoped it was some oriental adjective or some rhetorical hyperbole, something that didn't mean anything, and that they would just pass it off. But the fact is, he meant what he said. It's not an exercise. It's not some spiritual meaning. He meant exactly what he said. Go 2 miles. Jesus wanted his people to go the extra mile. He wanted to rise up and be a 2-mile Christian. Keep something here and turn over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Just look over there for a minute. Ephesians 4. Gentiles eat pork chops. You got it? You got that? Okay, eat. There you are. I'm trying to help you. A Gentile. Okay, Ephesians 4, verse 26. Be ye angry. You know it's all right to be angry. It is. It says you can be angry. Be ye angry and sin not. Most of the time you're angry, it's because you didn't get your way. That's just the way it is. That's why I get angry and get my way. I wanted to par that hole, get my way. Hey, what do you get angry about? I'll tell you how you control anger is you recognize it's coming. You know when you're getting angry. Anger management's real simple. Holy Spirit lets you know you're getting angry. Flesh getting riled up. When you know you're getting angry, realize it and think one thing. Why am I getting angry? Here you are. You're over in the left-hand lane of the expressway. That's my lane, okay? That's my lane. And if you're over there and you're doing 55, get over here in the other lane. But when all of a sudden people start slowing down, it turns into a parking lot. If you get angry, blowing horns and trying to show them their IQ with your hands and all kinds of things, you know, all that business, that's just anger. And you got to think, why am I getting angry? If it's out of your control, if you have no control over the situation, it doesn't make sense to pitch a fit. I mean, it just, I know all about that. I was that way. But here it says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I remember Brother Ross teaching this lesson. If you and Mama are having a fuss, don't be rolling back to back and going to sleep cold shoulder. Sit up. Talk it out. One time me and Bonnie was up for 3 months. The two-mile Christian will finish his argument with, I'm sorry, forgive me. That's how you finish that. You want to get in the last words? There's the last words. I'm sorry. That'll go a long ways. Well, bless God. Yeah, I know who you are. You're something. Turn, if you would, to Romans 5. Romans 5. We're talking about being a two-mile Christian in a one-mile world. You want to make a difference? Be a two-mile Christian. Focus in on doing something that's more than it's required. More than it's required is all. You made an agreement with somebody, do a little work for them, do a little more. It's amazing what it'll do. Romans 5 and verse 8, the familiar verse says, but God commandeth his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's a two-mile Christian. Died for... I've never gotten over this. The very first revival I ever preached, I got a hold of Romans 3. You know, Romans 3 is just... When you get a hold of Romans 3 down in your heart, the fact that we are the guilty ones and that God is the offended one, we sinned against God, he's the offended one. See, as an insurance agent, when we go to court for the settlements, the injured party never set the level. See, God was the injured party. He was the judge, and he set the level. The propitiation was his son. And, you know, for him, the injured party doesn't pay the price. But that's how God's love works. That's why it's unusual. And I got all wrapped up in that thing, man, and I was wailing away, and I was having me a time. And my preacher, Brother Jim Payne, will average preach about an hour and 10 minutes. He just is, he's cerebral. He just can't get it out and takes 7 points all alliterated. He's just that way. And we happen to like it, but most people can't handle that. So I sat right there in the second row near the spout where the glory comes out, you know, and I'm right there, and I'll say, man, that was good, all 76 minutes of it, you know, just on him, always just picking it, just poking him. And the first revival I preached, we had a lady come down the aisle in a wheelchair, and she got saved, and that was wonderful and all that. But we walked out on the porch of the church, and he said, Brother, that was good. All 86 minutes of it. I preached for 86 minutes. 1 hour and 26. The first time I ever went into a church for a revival. That's not what you do. We might do that tonight. No, no. If you're a 2 mile Christian, bless God, you could put up with it. Jesus was certainly an example of a 2 mile Christian. The other day I was in New Mexico doing a 10-day meeting. We'd go out there and do missions conference for a man named Brother Bird, and he happened to be gone while I was out there. It's the way it was set up. It was fine. I've been going out there for years, and it was just fine. Well, when I got there, one of the men in the church, his name Kevin. Kevin's 41. He's a plumber. Handsome man. Never been married. He stays with mom and dad. He's a plumber. The good... good income and all that, and takes care of mom and dad, makes the tax payments and just feeds them, and, you know, just a great guy, works in the church, loves the Lord, just a good fella. Well, in New Mexico, they have what's called open carry. You don't need a CCW. You just, if you got a gun, it stays on the seat of your car. It hangs behind your head. It's America. You want a deer rifle hanging there? Let her hang, you know? If it's brown, it's down, you know? That's the way I like it. Well, he happened to have a 44 Magnum on the seat, and he was going in for the evening, so he pulled it off the seat. When he went to get out of the truck, he bumped the hammer on the steering wheel, and he blew himself a hole in his leg. It blew his femur, the main bone, right in half. It severed the sciatic nerve, and he had no feeling at all from a knee down. That happened on May 31st, Memorial Day weekend. They helicoptered him to one place, and they put him on a jet. $22,000 for the jet to take him to El Paso, Texas. And they saved his life and saved his leg, but it hangs there just like a limp piece of flesh. Well, 2 days before he had this happen, his health insurance ran out. The bills that came in were $122,000. I heard about this and I went to his home. On this day, I was a 2 mile Christian. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. I was a 2 mile Christian. God told me to go see him, so I did. I was an insurance agent for 23 years. What, am I going to not help this guy? Just stay home? So I went over to see him, and I asked him if I could help. He told me he didn't have any insurance. I said, what are you doing with the bills? He said, I throw them in the box. Had a big box. We started opening bills, and I said, well, can I get on the phone? Can I call these people? What do you got? He said, well, I got $6,500 in savings. I got a $12,000 truck paid for. That's all I own. He said, other than that, I just take care of mom and dad and give unto the Lord. And I said, well, okay, let's see what we'll do. So we started making phone calls. I'm calling all kinds of programs. I know exactly what to do. I'm praying to the Lord as I'm going through it to get some advice. I'm faxing different things and talking about the title of his truck, the accounts, proving the amount of savings he had. What I'm looking for is a way to pay $122,000 worth of bills. And some 4 hours later, God allowed us to contact the right gal in the right place. She assured me that if he'd do the right things and prove the right things. Fact is, he had earned just enough money in that year, and he was self-employed. He was a union plumber, but he got laid off, so he'd gone self-employed. That's why the insurance ran out. The Cobra was like $1,200 a month. He didn't pay it that month, the insurance coverage. So he was self-employed. I called my buddy, and we did a income tax statement for him. And that is what he needed to fax over to the lady. And in a matter of 4 hours, we had the ability to pay $122,000 worth of bills. Amen? I'm not saying that you can do that or God's going to let you do that, but there's something you can do. There's something you can do. Something you can do. God wants you to be a 2 mile Christian. Let me read this letter to you. This letter comes to me via email from a missionary in Iceland. Patrick Weimer is our friend. He went to college with my daughters and son-in-laws, and he's been in Iceland for 10 years. He went there, and Iceland is a very kind of a, well, 60 below, but I mean, it's, the spiritism is much like the Native American Indian. Everything's got a spirit, and you pray to that, and da-da-da-da-da. And he's trying to introduce Jesus Christ. Well, the adults don't have much interest. But the people who are 10 do. Well, now he's been there 10 years. Guess what? Got a church now. Had a junior church for a lot of years, but now he's got a church. That's how it works in some of those countries. They have 3 children. This letter comes from his wife. Their latest baby died. Died at birth, and Vicky, the mother, almost died giving birth. And this is the letter she sends right afterwards. She said, I want to thank many of you. This is a missionary friend of ours. Now listen to this letter. Think about this missionary who has 2 ears, 2 eyes. He's just a normal person. He's a dad just like you. I'd like to thank the many of you who have emailed condolences in the loss of our little Sarah Ann last week. Many of you have been inquiring how I am doing. Though in time I plan to write each one of you individually, please accept this email. Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Though I do not sorrow as those who have no hope, I am still thankful that he gave me permission to mourn, for truly my heart is broken. As I imagine Sarah Ann holding the hand of Jesus as they walk through heaven, I can almost hear her ask him, why is mommy crying? Since she will never experience sorrow and cannot understand it, he must explain to her that I mourn so that he can comfort me. Many of you have shared your own stories and personal grief in losing a child. Thank you for entrusting us with your pain. The Bible says that we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Of course, this law of which Jesus spoke was to love the Lord first with all our heart, strength, and might, that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. By sharing your stories of loss with us and sharing how the Lord sustained you, you have kept this commandment. Thank you for fulfilling this law by helping to bear our burden in this. For those of you who read the letter that Patrick sent out last week, her husband, or anyone who watched the funeral services online, I'd like to thank you publicly for my husband. He is a pillar of strength and faith. He has taken on the role of a grieving father, a supportive husband, a church planning pastor, a caring mortician, a funeral coordinator in a foreign field. Many of you do not know that when I was still in recovery from the surgery, Patrick cared for my Sarah Ann. He took her little body and prepared it to be seen by others. He bathed her, he clothed her, and swaddled her. After the children, my mom and a few friends had a time with her for saying goodbye, he took her to the morgue and he prepared her body for burial, and he laid her in a little coffin. He brought her to the capital city, to our little town. He preached both services, one on Friday and then a funeral on Saturday. He, our sons, and a few men in the church worked together to bury her. I fear I have unfairly leaned on him during this time, but he has not complained. He holds me even more. He is patient every time I cry. Because I am still recovering from surgery, he drives me the 5 miles to the cemetery whenever I ask him. It is only fair for you to have inquired about my well-being to know that my husband, my favorite preacher, and my best friend has been a great source of comfort to me. One day I will be able to chronicle how the Lord brought me through the grief of this loss. For now I can only say that he has carried me through the last 10 days, the longest days of my life. At times I feel the sorrow is too much to bear, and that my heart cannot beat, nor my lungs cannot breathe through this pain, but they do. I must cling to the promise that Jesus gave me. I will be blessed in my mourning because he will comfort me. Now, if that doesn't jerk your heart, if that doesn't just cause you to just want to help. My son-in-law read that letter to us on a Wednesday night, and the first suggestion was, let's send him $500. It's the least we can do. It's our missionary. See, if you get a letter like that and you don't want to help, 2 Mile Christians want to help. When it comes to a work day, a 2 Mile Christian will be there. When it comes to missions and faith promise, the 2 Mile Christian is just going to get involved. Just going to get involved. I challenge you to be a 2 Mile Christian. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. I'll read my life's verse. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands. Do you like that, guys? As unto the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. But it's always been Bonnie's idea for me to keep reading. In verse 25 it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also has loved the church and gave himself for it. Isn't it ironic that God never commands the woman to love us? It's true. God knows that if we'll love our wives the way we're supposed to, they'll love us. They'll submit to us. The submitting thing isn't a problem for them. If you love God and live for God, ain't no problem at all. 2 Mile Christian, treat his wife like he's supposed to. Treat his wife. She's to be on a pedestal. Treat her. Treat her like she's supposed to be treated. Some of them buzzards, some of you buzzards. Whew. Last time you opened the door for your wife on a car, you was trying to catch your foot in it and drag her down the road. God has a system of authority, and the system of authority is simple. You just obey God. Live for God. Be that 2 Mile Christian. A 2 Mile Christians give 100% to marriage. 100%, 100%. Don't treat his wife like some doormat. Here, girls, I got a poem for you. He didn't like the casserole. He didn't like my cake. I didn't perk the coffee right. He didn't like the stew. I didn't mend his socks like his mother used to do. I pondered for an answer. I was looking for a clue. Then I turned around and smacked him like his mother used to do. I'm not recommending that either. But here's how the smack will come, fella. Here's how the smack will come. You come home one day and she's not there. That's how the smack comes. We come back to a church, we'll say, well, he's there. Where's the missus? Well, she's gone. She was looking on the, she found somebody. She met somebody. He wanted so much money, he put her to work too. So they get the boat, you gotta have the boat. She gave her all to the boss, and the boss, he got her all. Now she's gone with the boss. That's the smack that comes when you don't love your wife like Christ loved the church. Husbands, love your wives. It's sacrificial love. You're no problem at all. You being a 2 Mile Christian, it's the secret to the Christian life. Do more than what's respected. My wife likes green apples. Granny Smith apples. And they got to have the little sticker on them. Without the little sticker, they don't taste right. She knows. She's an apple connoisseur. She eats that green apple with her cold Pepsi. Straight Pepsi, none of this diet stuff. Pepsi. And a hunk of cheese. And if I want to be a real 2 mile Christian, I'll put a piece of bread in the toaster, put a thin layer of peanut butter on it, and deliver it to her while she's fixing her hair. Hey, you do what you want. I know. There are benefits. I used to have a mustache. For 15 years I had a mustache, David. My wife told me I look better with the mustache on. I was going down to preach. Guy Jordan said to say hello. I just finished his missions conference. That's where the 7 people got saved. I was going to preach for him in Philadelphia back in 85, and I had a mustache. And that church in those days said no hair on the preacher, no facial hair allowed. You say, well, that's weird. I didn't care. I want to preach. So I was trimming it up, and I got it down to about, I looked like Hitler. I had a little, that little thing there, you know. And I got down that small, I said, well, I'll just whack her off. So I whacked her off, and I come out, and I sat down the kitchen table, and my girls had never seen me without a mustache. Man, they started to laugh. Look at his upper lip. And they kept going on and on. This is all there is to work with, folks. Well, after a while, I said, that's enough. So a couple days later, I decided, well, I'm going to grow that thing back on. And I was letting it grow, and my wife said, what are you doing? I said, well, you said I look better with that mustache on. She said, well, actually you do. But I've also found out I didn't like that picky thing up my nose. Hey! She's my wife. She's my wife. I'm her husband. If she doesn't want picky thing up her nose, it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. 2 mile Christian does what his wife wants once in a while. Hey, it's the truth. All she asks of me is when I get out of the shower, listen up. You get out of the shower and you drip all over the floor. Don't you? Well, my wife was smart enough to put 2 shower rods in. One 3 foot in front of me and then the one by the tub. That way, if I'm in between these 2 shower rods drying off and one of my grandkids got to come in and hit the facility, they ain't got to be exposed to Grandpa. So all I'm supposed to do is hang my towels up and make sure the curtain rods are closed so they dry out. They don't get moldy, because when we leave for 2-3 weeks. Come back, that plastic shower is all sticking together and looking bad. How hard is that? It took me 37 years to learn that. She's finally got me coming, man. Look at, I'm bringing her peanut butter, and I'm dragging the shower curtain across. Ain't I special? But the fact is, you won't do it. And you wonder why your marriage is falling apart, and you wonder why there's no love in your life. It's because you're not loving her the way you need to love her. It's the truth. I'm sick to death. Marriage is falling apart because nobody will want to serve each other at all. Husbands, love your wives. Churches, we need to be 2 mile Christians. You know, there's 440 minutes in a day. 440 minutes in a day. I counsel with people all the time. And I say, can you pray for 5 minutes? Can you read your Bible for 5 minutes? Is that being too cruel? Just 5 minutes. And they'll come back to me, we didn't make it. I couldn't do it. Study to show thyself approved. This, I know how you do it. You get out of bed and you stayed up too late and you watch too much television and you're tired and you're trying to get to work and you've had to do these things and you look at that Bible and you mean to read it, you want to read it. And by the way, that's evidence of your salvation. That's good. But you don't. And then what happens is you get jostled. It's just water. Don't worry about it. I just jostled that. When you get jostled, whatever's in you comes out. No Bible in, no Bible out. Out comes something else. Sorry you said it. Yeah. Holy Bible, book divine. I can't read you. I haven't got the time. I know you've got much to say, but it's my busy day. So here you go under the table. I'll read you when I'm able. I know what it's like. You think that tomorrow morning, I mean, we'll be traveling all night. I'm going to be on the end of a chainsaw at 8 o'clock. How much Bible is going to be given to me tomorrow? As much as I allow. Folks, it's the answer to what's going on in your life. Me and Bonnie travel and talk about things in the car, hours and hours and hours. Most of you don't have. You sit down and you sit down, the first noise you hear is the remote. 2.5 hours later, 3 hours later, you hear the remote shut it off, and you go lay down, and you're so tired, you can't even talk to her. She can't talk to you. Nothing left. Gave her all of the tube. I'm just begging you to challenge yourself. A 2 mile Christian is going to have more time with his wife and with his family than that. Not always bad, just 99.9%. A 2 mile Christian cares. A 2 mile Christian gives. I seen a picture the other day. It was of a football player on a bench. He was a high school football player. His helmet was on the ground. His face was dirty. His tears were dried. He was looking at the floor. And there's a sign that said, "I quit." And in the corner was three crosses. And the one in the middle had a little window and it said, "I didn't." You know, Jesus never quit. A 2 mile Christian doesn't quit. A 2 mile Christian just keeps on going. You're here today and, you know, you're about to throw in the towel. You're thinking that, you know, it's, you just had it. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us seems sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when we might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up. Though the pace seems slow, you may succeed with just one more blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you can never tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. You parents, you husbands and wives, don't you quit. Amen. Don't you quit. Amen. Be a 2 mile Christian. Live for others. Let's pray. No one moving around, and as our pianist comes, I'm going to pray and we'll stand to our feet and use an invitation appropriately. Oh God, I ask you to protect these people. There's people here that are not the 2 mile Christian that they once were. There's people that are 1 mile Christians who want to go the extra mile, they just haven't ever tried. And you're encouraging them to. They're excited about the thought of going forward. And I know you can help them and guide them. So Lord, I ask you to help those that are looking forward to that step. There are those who used to be and who want to be again. There are those that have never ventured into prayer to the depths that they should and really want to. And prayer is where a 2 mile Christian exceeds. There are young people who wanting to be a 2 mile Christian in different areas of their life. So Lord, I pray tonight that as the altars fill, that you will assist and help. And the prayer of these people is not, oh God, I will do better, I will. No, it's, oh God, I want to, but you must help. That's where the power is, leaning on Christ.